Okay, my talk this morning is called Let Your Light Shine. Many years ago, there was a short story on HBO called Releasing the Fat Man Within. And it was a story about three buddies who got together many, many years after graduating college. One was a successful lawyer, one was an accountant, and one had gotten very, very big. Well, as they were reminiscing about their college days, the lawyer kept on drinking a lot of alcohol, and he got very intoxicated, and he started staring at the big guy, and he goes, "You're so big." He said, "In college, you used to be thin." He said, "What happened?" And the big guy said, "Well, you know, in college, I was always doing what other people wanted me to do." He said, "You know what? I like eating. I like being big." And he does a somersault across the floor, and he goes, "I'm Bobo the Clown. I work at the circus." I had to learn to release the fat man within. And the accountant goes, "Wow, that's amazing." And the clown says, "Did you used to play a piano?" And he said, "Yeah, but that was many, many years ago. You know, accounting pays a lot more." So the clown says, "Well, how are your kids?" He said, "Oh, they're grown, they're married, they've left a long time ago." And he said, "Well, why don't you play the piano some more?" And he goes, "Well, you know what, maybe I will." So he goes home and he asks his wife if it's okay if he gets a job working the piano bar, you know, one night a week. His wife says, "Well, yeah, if that's what you want to do." And he finds he really likes it, and he gradually makes it his full-time job. He had to learn to release the fat man within and let his light shine. Now, I grew up in an inner-city ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. And right from my earliest days, I realized it was going to be up to me to figure out life. You know, my dad had a really good income as a union painter, but he was a gambler. So we lived in condemned housing, meaning that every 2 years we had to move again because they were tearing down the house. One time me and my next oldest brother were being chased by a gang, and as we came to the corner, I turned to him and said, "What are we going to do?" And he turned to me and said, "What do you mean we?" And I realized it was every man for himself. So when I was 10 years old, I found an axle in the street. And I said, "You know, I'm going to drag that home and I'm going to start working out." Well, my four older brothers said, "You can't be a weightlifter. You're too puny." But something within me said, "Well, how will I know unless I try it?" Well, very little happened the first 3 years. Very little happened the next 3 years. But I never gave up. 13 years after I started, I set the Louisiana record in the bench press of 340 pounds. While weighing only 147. And 18 years later, I started placing in physique contests. It's not over till it's over. Also, in eighth grade, I decided to go out for the track team. And back then, the trials for everybody was the 100-yard dash. And I ran it on Monday in 15.8. And the coach turned to me and said, "Shay, you're too slow." Then I showed up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And each day he said, "Shay, you're too slow. But it seems like you're willing to work, so you can come on the team." Next year I was captain. I was captain in high school. I was captain in college. And then I got a track scholarship to LSU. It's not over till it's over. Now, I was very good at math in high school, so I got an A in calculus. Got to college. Got an A in calculus. My brother said, "You're good in math, you got to be an engineer." And I said to myself, "You know, I'm good in math, but shouldn't I like it if I'm going to do it the rest of my life?" And the next year I said, "Let me take a biology course." And I really liked it. I said, "That's what I'm going to do. I want to deal with living things." Now, I've recorded over 18,000 of my own dreams. And dreams have given me insights into so many different parts of my life. The healing that I do actually started with a dream. I had a dream that I was in a church, came out of the church, and there was a gate with a lock on it. I made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and the lock opened. And then a voice said, look at that, we have Christ in our midst. And I said, no, I'm no one. I'm here to help him manifest the Christ. I thought it was a wonderful dream. I didn't know what to do with it. I'm at an Edgar Cayce conference in Phoenix, Arizona. We're discussing dreams, and I mentioned this dream. And a woman says, well, you're a chiropractor. Why don't you make the sign of the cross over someone's spine? And I go, well, what's that going to do? She said, humor me. So I checked the person's spine. One leg was an inch shorter, stepped 5 feet away and made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ, and their spine lined up as their legs evened out. That's how the healing started. Another dream said, in time you'll work with all things, but you won't seek it out. When it is right, it'll be brought to you. Another dream said, the reason you've been led to Monroe, Louisiana, is that the sparse social activity will be helpful for your growth. And when the time is right, you will be led forth. Another dream, I was a little baby in a crib. I was about an inch big, so I was really small. In another crib, there's a big baby running around the crib, and he's about 3 feet tall. A voice said, he's bigger, so he can move. When you two are bigger, you two can move. I knew that I had things to learn right there in Monroe, Louisiana, and that when the time was right, I would be led forth. Now, twice I had a dream that I was in like a Nazi concentration camp, and I had some religious thing in my hand. I don't know if it was a Star of David or a cross, but the guards pointed their rifles at me and said, open your hand. And I was afraid if I opened my hand, they'd shoot me. But in both dreams, I opened my hand and they shot me. And I like woke up like I had just been shot. But it was like another dream that someone says, if the choice be between God and $1 million, who do you choose? And I said, I choose God. So many times dreams give you insights into yourself even before you know it about yourself. See, I was a chiropractor for 18 years from 1975 to 1993. Finally, in 1993, I closed the clinic and gave it away. I just thought if I'd never tried this spiritual healing, I would never forgive myself. That year that I gave up my clinic was a very difficult year financially. So at the end of the year, I'm giving a talk in a bookstore in Dallas to about five people. And one of the people in the audience was a minister who was a retired minister of Unity of Dallas. And he said, you know, I think the church would like to hear your story. And my first Unity church was Unity of Dallas in February 1994. Back then, they were the third biggest in the country, you know, over 1,000 Sunday morning. And that's when things started picking up. So I liked being a chiropractor. I love being a spiritual healer. I get to see miracles on an everyday basis. I was seeing a little old lady who had neuropathy, and she wanted to come for a session at one of the churches I was at, which was upstairs. And I saw her at the bottom of the steps, and she said, well, I can't come up. My feet hurt. I can't move. And I said, do you want some healing? She said, yes. So I zapped her from the top of the stairs, and she's at the bottom of the stairs and starts tapping her feet, and she came right up the steps. And then seeing a lady who had blocked tear ducts and was blind, and at the Festival of Mind, Body, Spirit in London, England, I gave her some healing. Her eyes started watering and she started seeing, which actually opened up her husband that he could do spiritual healing because he saw what I did. It was written up in the newspaper, blind woman's husband becomes spiritual healer after meeting American who does spiritual healing. Or it's seeing a dog that was born with a defective heart and had to be on special medication, and I did the healing. Within 6 weeks, the heart was normal. So it's all these amazing things. Yes, I used to be a chiropractor, but I had to learn to release the fat man within. I had to let my light shine. So these last 30 years have been the happiest of my life so far. You know, in Modern Maturity magazine, there was an article called Taking Charge. These were stories about people who reinvented their lives. Now, changing careers required courage, it meant sacrificing security, leaving the established perch. They had to challenge themselves, prove themselves, and overcome doubt. But in the stories, career change led not simply to a greater sense of self, but each person took a chance to pursue a dream and discover passion. They had to ask some very difficult questions. What do I care about? Ultimately, by reinventing their careers, they also reinvented their lives and felt a deeper connection to the universe and all of life. Now, Edgar Cayce called this an adventure in consciousness. Don't limit the experience. Let your light shine. The Talmud says that every blade of grass has its angel bending over it, whispering, grow, grow. Become, become, become all you can be. There's something wonderful and majestic in you, something beyond your wildest dreams. Now, do you believe that you are a unique creation of God? Do you believe that you came here on a mission? Scripture tells us, if God be with me, who can be against me? Dr. Gary Arnold, in his lecture, Three Things My Father Taught Me, pointed out that life itself has meaning and purpose. Life itself is intrinsically good. Two, that miracles happen in everyday situations, in the day-to-day things, the small things. And it is up to us to unfold these blossoms, to look at life situations as holders of miracles within. And three, deep down within us all, there's a potential. It's silent, but if we stopped and listened, we can direct it to express itself. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Reverend Mary Manon Morrissey wrote the book, Building Your Field of Dreams. And she said, you can build your own field of dreams. You are the farmer. The field is your life. The earth is available to anyone willing to plant. We grow a crop of life with the thoughts we hold. We all have access to an inner voice, not one of reason and logic, but of guidance. And these thoughts are the seeds given to us from God in infinite number. Building your field of dreams changes your life in three ways. You come to recognize the deep desires of your heart. You learn to break through the self-defeating thoughts into the realm where the impossible becomes possible. And three, you come to realize that no dream as great as the person you become for holding and being true to it. The crop you harvest may be magnificent. The soul that emerges through your dream building is even more so. Now, one chapter of my book talks about football dreams. And it's all these football symbolic dreams. It says, I'm this great player, and I have this great supporting cast, and my front line is made up of giant angels with wings. And one lady read the book and said, Dr. Shea, you're so conceited. And I wrote back to her, you don't understand. These dreams are archetypal of all of us. You are so much more than you think you are. You've got all this amazing guidance within, and you've got a great assistant group of people, souls, guides around you to try to help you accomplish things. Reverend Morrissey says, it's not that you can't create many wonderful things by hard work and using your imagination, but you can. But suppose the most powerful being in the universe was your partner. So instead of playing a game, you're building a dream. With God at your side assisting you, you create something that's totally beyond your imagination of what it's possible to conjure. Emmett Fox, in The Mental Equivalence, states that whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind, the kind of body you have, the kind of home you have, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you meet. All are conditioned by and correspond to the deepest mental concept you hold. So what thoughts are you holding? Once again, dreams can give us insight. I had a dream that I called Space Station. And I'm in this outer space station, and also an emergency message. The ship is too heavy. If we don't lighten the load immediately, all will die. And without another thought, I open the hatchway and I leap in, out into space. But instead of finding me in space and dying, I found myself in a beautiful green field filled with beautiful people. And I thought of the thought, no greater love that he will put down his life for his fellow man. Now, Alan Cohn, in his book, Dare to Be Yourself, tells the story about the Golden Buddha. This was a giant head of gold in the shape of the Buddha in the Orient. And monks would come and meditate and worship under the Golden Buddha. And one day they heard about an army coming over the mountainside. And they said, if they see the Golden Buddha, they're going to pillage it. And they said, how can we protect the Golden Buddha? And they finally came up with covering it with mud and mortar. And they no sooner finished, the army came into the village, went right by the Buddha, and kept on going. The years came and passed, and everybody forgot that the Buddha was covered with gold underneath. One day, a young monk is meditating by the Buddha and sees something shiny, and he scratches away the mud and sees the gold within. See, the Golden Buddha is within all of us. Behind the facades and defenses and images we present to the world, there is a bright and precious soul calling for expression. There is one within us who is strong, wise, and compassionate. This is the one we've been questing for all our lives. The Golden Buddha is you and me. We can hide who we are, but we cannot destroy it. Ultimately, we must come to put aside our fears and claim our heart's desire and let our light shine. Now, whatever else you do in life, always leave a place for laughter. These are some true test scores from a middle school on history. Ancient Egypt was inhabited by mummies. They wrote in hydraulics and lived in the Sahara Desert. Solomon had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Socrates was a famous Greek teacher who went around giving people advice. He died from an overdose of wedlock. The greatest writer of the Renaissance was William Shakespeare. He wrote tragedies, comedies, and hysterectomies. Christopher Columbus discovered America while cursing the Atlantic. It was an age of great inventions and discoveries. Sir Francis Drake circumcised the world with a 100-foot clipper. I believe that only when you let God lead you will your life take on meaning and purpose. You know, I think of the characters in Ayn Rand's book, The Fountainhead, and Atlas Shrugged. They had tremendous integrity. They did what they loved. They let their light shine. You know, I love that song by Frank Sinatra, Regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Why? Because he did it Frank's way. He let his light shine. So if life has meaning and purpose, if life is intrinsically good, if miracles happen in everyday situations, and we all have a potential within that's silent, but that we can direct, how do we best utilize these things? We must be willing and daring enough to find out what we really want to do and be, and find the strength within to carry it out. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Yes, I became a chiropractor, but I eventually found out that I needed to be a spiritual healer and do it openly. So what is it that you love? What do you aspire to be? What are you willing to do to see it through to fruition? You know, the most famous healer of the 20th century was Olga Worrell. And she said, number one, place God first in everything in your life. Number two, desire the highest and the best for all concerned. And one of Olga Worrell's lectures, someone in the audience said, Olga, how could I do just like you? And say the lady's name was Carol. And Olga said, God doesn't want you to be an Olga too. God wants you to be a Carol one. So we all have the God-given gift of free will. And like the Golden Buddha, we need to stand in the light and let our light shine to illuminate the path for those around us. We have a field of dreams. We are the farmers. Our thoughts will determine the crop, and God is working the field with you. Release the fat man within. Let your light shine, and your life will be transformed because you will be doing what you love. And by doing what you love, you'll be giving people your best. Thank you.